Page 11. Spring Conference Convention, California Council of the Blind, by Patricia Nash. Editor's note, however much you might have enjoyed reading Ken Metz's article, Out of the Doghouse, in the spring issue of the BC, and however delighted you may have been that Guide Dog Users of California has once again become a vital active affiliate, you probably didn't want to read it twice, especially under Patty Nash's promised article on the Spring Conference Convention. Once the horrible truth was brought to my attention, Annette Carter, who has been doing our layout beginning with the spring issue, and I tried to sleuth out how, why this could have happened, as is sometimes necessary because of space restrictions. We slot articles in and out at the last minute. Well, what can I say? Those computer gremlins sneaked in and did a bait and switch. No excuses. We blank-ed up. Page 12. I've known Patty's writing since she served as Bayview Chapter's secretary for several years. As soon as she was elected as our delegate, I tapped her to write this convention article. So often I must wheedle or twist arms, but Patty enthusiastically agreed to the assignment. She gave a fine report at our chapter meeting the Saturday following convention, and here then, albeit belatedly, is her thoughtful report. The annual conference and convention of the California Council of the Blind was held from Thursday, April 10 to Sunday, April 13, 2014, at the Arden West Hilton Hotel in Sacramento. The theme of the conference was Celebrating 80 Years of Achievement, Advocacy, Accessibility, and was suggested by Vita Zavoli, TOG Chair and Board Member. It was hosted by the Capital Chapter and was different from other years, being the first annual conference convention for CCB. Page 13. The Board of Directors meeting was held on Thursday, noon, and it lasted a grueling 4 hours, but much was accomplished. The meeting was presided over by President Donna Pomerantz, and many committee reports were given. First, the agenda for the meeting was read by Secretary Judy Wilkinson and approved. Then there were reports on the Mutt Strutt, Ellen Murphy Fund, Noel Perry, Budget and Finance, the TOG Committee, which is responsible for the maintenance of the entire CCB website, Facebook and Twitter, and California Connection. Most board members have responsibilities for specific committees, and the tasks they perform are daunting, including ensuring we have affordable, comfortable, and accessible accommodations for our future conferences. In the Publications Committee report, we learned that the cost for printing The Blind Californian is $12,000 per year, and though a survey was taken of the membership to determine which formats we could receive it in if Braille or cassette copies were discontinued, we were assured that at this time neither format will be discontinued. Maintenance costs are rising as our economy tries to recoup from the recession of 2008. Page 14. Jeff Tom thanked Donna for a good job conducting the board meeting. She said that help from each and every member of our organization is needed to carry out our goals and to make our ideas a reality and our organization what we want it to be. So we should stay informed and keep working. She also thanked everyone for their hard work. Frank Welty suggested that in odd-numbered years, the convention should be held up north so that the new legislative session could work on bills and they would gain momentum. I was inspired to hear that Al Gill has been a member of CCB for 63 years, and he donated money to continue our work, and his wife Connie made a $500 donation to the Blind Californian. In the first general session on Friday afternoon, we first heard from Mark Lees of the California Department of Business Oversight, who talked about protecting yourself from financial fraud. Personal information can be collected bit by bit, over time, to steal one's identity. Some safeguards we can take are burning or shredding mail, even just with your name and address on it, picking up mail on time, and being careful what you share on the Internet. There is a toll-free call center, 866-275-2677, or go to dbo.ca.gov. We next heard from Albert Ritzy from My Blind Spot, who told about his work partnering with Adaptive Technology Services to make QuickBooks accessible to accountants, and the goal would be to tailor the products to our needs first without having to make them accessible later. A demonstration of writing a check was given. Information can be obtained from myblindspot.org. Page 15. We heard from a representative from Covered California, and she was informed that all materials provided by a state-run health organization should be in an accessible format. Friday evening, I attended the President's Dinner, which was a candidates' forum. Though it was enjoyable and informative and necessary, I missed hearing what the chapters were doing for special projects. They are always a source of inspiration. Friday evening session began with a moment of silence for those members who had passed on during the past year. At this time, Donna Pomerantz recognized the three silver sponsors of the conference convention, Vanda Pharmaceuticals, Lainey Feingold, and Linda Dardarian. Donna stated that our history has been marvelous and who knows where we'll be in the next 80 years. Pam Pelagi announced the slate of officers to be voted on, and they were President Jeff Tom, First Vice President Eugene Lozano, Jr., Treasurer Peter Pardini. The directors were Vincent Calderon, Lena Dawes, Frank Welty, and Paul Patch, Jr. She then gave the credentials report, and 14 chapters were not seated at this convention. Page 16. Jean Lozano next introduced Dr. Melissa Olivadotti, who gave us an update on non-24-hour sleep disorder and its treatment in people with no light perception. She works with Vanda Pharmaceuticals as their medical science liaison in Washington, D.C. She announced that the new treatment of this disorder was approved this day, April 12, 2014. Circadian rhythms are built into our bodies by certain environmental factors, of the primary one being daylight. Our body wants to be on a 25-hour day. To make adjustments, our body shifts the time from 10 minutes to up to an hour. The eyes send messages to the brain on light and darkness to reset our body clock each day. Each cell has a time clock, and they are all on the same timing. Light and darkness signal the hormones for sleep. So it's like the atomic clock. Our clock is advancing, so our body will fight us if we try to go by the clock. This can result in naps during the day and wakefulness at night. Retraining your body is not enough to counteract the impact of no light stimulus to the brain center. The company is working with insurance companies to put the treatment on their formularies. Vanda is committed to get help to those patients who need the treatment even if they can't afford the cost. The name of the drug is HETLIOZ. Page 17. Many of us are diagnosed with insomnia because doctors are not aware of this disorder, and much publicity is going out to remedy this, and there is a website to which doctors can go for information. Jeff Tom gave a very thorough legislative report. See his report elsewhere in this issue. He also updated us on structured negotiations, including accessible credit reports. Get yours at creditreport.com. More accessible banking, including statements and accessible ATMs, great accessibility of Weight Watchers, and CVS.com has mail-order prescriptions. You can also obtain script talcs from Envision America. Ron Brooks, member of the ACB Board of Publications, was the ACB representative. A former member of CCB, now from Arizona, he gave the national ACB report. He spoke about legislation in education, which would ensure children have accessible materials in elementary school. He said Braille is much more accessible in other countries. Braille labels are on groceries and food, even wine bottles. Donna gave her moving final president's report. She spoke about recent CCB activities and thanked everyone for their support. She expressed her sorrow at having to leave office sooner than she had wanted to. Page 18. We next had the election of officers and directors. All candidates were voted in by acclamation. This year, on Saturday, there was no afternoon session, but instead two simultaneous tracks. One on employment. I attended the leadership training track, which was really informative and fun. If you do get a chance to attend the convention, you should go. Lena Dawes, Jeff Tom, Mitch Pomerantz, and Frank Welty provided an excellent forum for learning. There was much information to bring back to the chapter, with wise advice and an opportunity for participation. We were advised that keeping our eye on the prize and being a fine example by working hard were essential to leadership. A good leader is determined by the results he gets. We were given tips on conducting meetings, familiarizing ourselves with Robert's Rules of Order. We learned that each person has a niche, and there are jobs for all types of people. We are working for advocacy and do not need to get into personalities. Lena facilitated the next part, and we broke into groups. She asked if we were formal or informal, domineering or easygoing, and then we had to answer questions, and learned a whole lot about personality types. This was my favorite activity of the convention, and I learned the most from it to use in interacting with personalities in my workplace and my local chapter. Page 19. Saturday night is banquet time. I was honored to sit with Leslie and Jeff Tom. Ron Brooks was an excellent master of ceremonies and introduced the presenters and speakers. The banquet was uplifting, enjoyable, and touching. He first introduced all of the LIFE members. And when Donna was going to pay her $100 donation to add her name to this list, Artis Bazin presented her with a LIFE membership to which many contributed. Next, Artis wore her hat as chair of the membership committee. She presented chapter growth awards to CLUA for the most new members and to GDUC for the greatest percentage increase. Humboldt Chapter received the Chapter of the Year award for their getting audio-described movies in their local theaters. Margie Donovan received a humanitarian award for getting audio-described musical productions into the theater, including a special time which people could see the costumes and props. Richard Lewis also received an award for making these productions accessible. Linda Porrell gave publication committee awards to Vita Zavoli for her issue-oriented article on employment and to Alice McGrath for her lifestyle article on the Braille Challenge. Ed Branch read all of the plaques. Mitch Pomerantz's name was added to the California Council's Hall of Fame, which is a plaque which hangs in the state office and contains the plaque with each name on them. Artis Bazin also presented a charter to the Greater Lakewood Chapter, and then Ron Brooks presented Albert Ritzy, who spoke about his struggles adjusting to blindness. Thanks to his family, he always knew he was a leader and not a quitter. He is a promoter of accessibility. Sunday morning was taken up with resolutions. See Jeff's article summary elsewhere in this issue. The treasurer's report was given, constitutional amendments were presented, and we are all very grateful to Donna Pomerantz for her dedication to CCB.